Sunrose Yoga Podcast. Reveal your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. Blessings. It's Kelly Connor Sunrose. Come visit sunroseyoga.com, the web home of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. At sunroseyoga.com, you can listen to past podcasts, browse yoga and meditation videos, and read articles on the practices and philosophy of yoga, written by curious and devoted yogis. You can also view all of the show notes, find all of the ways to connect, and view my teaching schedule. Visit sunroseyoga.com today. Episode 92 of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. Hi, this is Kelly. Welcome to episode 92 of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. This episode is a yin yoga class where we continue our exploration of the eight limbs of yoga as described by the Yoga Sutras. And we talk about satya or truth. Thank you so much for joining me today for this class. Please get in touch, sunroseyoga@gmail.com, or you can visit sunroseyoga.com for photos of the asanas and all of the ways to get in touch. Thank you. Namaste. We've been talking about the eight limbs of yoga. And the eight limbs are the system of yoga that's described by the Yoga Sutras. And the Yoga Sutras is this skinny book of 196 little sayings that was compiled by Patanjali. The date on that is not quite locked in. I think it was about 3,000 years ago. Give or take. And we have been talking about the yamas, which are the first limb of the eight-limbed path. These are restraints or abstentions that we practice not out of fear of any sort of external punishment, if you will, but because after playing with them and thinking about them, it becomes clear that by behaving this way, we respect the divine within ourselves and we respect the divine in others. And so we talked about ahimsa, nonviolence. And we've been talking this week about satya, truth. And truth builds on nonviolence. Nonviolence is really like the root of everything. It all starts and ends there. And truth, in this sense, satya, means objective truth. With a couple of layers on top of it. Truth plus nonviolence. So truth plus kindness. And also truth plus this sort of awareness of whether what we're about to say or think is necessary. Whether it's the right time to say or think whatever we might be thinking or saying. And this corresponds with the notion of right speech in Buddhism, if you're familiar with that at all. And it's really interesting. So this is kind of a side note, but my sister's getting married next week. And there's something about weddings and about, like, people verbalizing
commitments to one another and whatnot that makes me just want to talk about it a lot. And the thing that I always come back to is people are always saying, like, you know, honesty is the best policy in a relationship. And that's true in a sense, but in my experience, for longevity, for happiness, kindness sort of has to be part of that. I'm not suggesting like omitting or deceiving, but we maybe don't always have to tell someone else when they're wrong or when they don't look like the 10 that they are. And that's sort of, for me, kind of like, in one sense, a very, I hate to say superficial, because the simple, but difficult to practice, as with most of these things. So that's sort of like the ground level of satya, is objective truth infused with kindness. But then we get into this more subtle level, which relates back to the ego. And this is more about like the stories that we tell ourselves throughout the day, the loop that plays in our mind when we're just going about our business. And something interesting to do from time to time is when you become aware of that loop playing, you know, being around family or bosses or coworkers or traffic has a tendency to like trigger that loop for me. I got flicked off the other day. I didn't know that was still a thing. Like, it was so hilarious. It was so funny. So if you have that moment, like that spark of awareness where you're like, oh, I'm thinking, just for a minute, ask yourself, is it true? What if it's not true? Then what? And that's like a kind of, that's a really interesting place to hang out, I think. And we can relate this back to the body two ways. The first is those patterns that we revert to, those loops that we play over and over, much like the loops of tension in the body. They've taken our entire life to create. So, go easy on yourself. If you can't free yourself of them the first time you try, don't give up. Just like the body, keep sending the message. Thoughts, the mind, this is all part of being human. And the more we can just accept that and be as objective as possible, the more compassion starts to bubble up for ourselves and for others. And the second thing, relating back to the body and relating back to our practice tonight, is that you might find yourself flipping into one of those loops even before we get into a pose. If you just hear the word pigeon or hip openers or handstand, not tonight obviously, but you might immediately find yourself telling yourself a story. And that is what makes our physical practice so helpful, is we, particularly in yin, because we're really hanging out in those tight areas, we get a chance to practice being there in this safe space where we're all here for each other, and we can move from there. I have more to say about truth. We'll talk about it when we assemble ourselves again. So let's just find our way to a luminous seat. And let yourself settle into this moment and settle into the experience of sitting and breathing. And let your hands come to a shape or a gesture or a mudra that feels natural to you. Doesn't have to be anything you've seen. Doesn't have to be anything you've done. Just some sort of a gesture that grounds you in this place and space, in the present. And let's sing one big, beautiful Om all together. Deep breath in. And let it all go. And deep breath in. And as you take your next breath out, bow to your heart. Bow to aligning the truth within you with the life you live. And slowly start to come back. And before we find our way into our first shape, just move your body in whatever way feels right now. You'd like yourself to make these movements with curiosity. And we'll start with some hip work. And we have a couple of options today. The first is to practice shoelace, which involves assembling the legs where one heel is close to the opposite haunch or hip, if you will, and the other heel is next to its opposite, and the knees are stacked facing forward. And there are some variations here where you can If you feel lots and lots of sensation, you may want to bring the sole of your top foot to the floor. You might want to hold your top knee. That can allow you to get back into your hips a little bit more and out of your knee. If you feel strong sensation in the bottom knee, you can straighten that. Oh, good. So this works for everybody. Beautiful. And we begin just by really settling into your sitting bones, like sitting back. And as you do that, you might feel more sensation in the hips. And see if there's a way to soften the soles of the feet. And just notice what you notice here. And if it feels okay, you might start to walk your hands forward, placing the hands on the floor or on your blocks, and using the arms sort of as a structure for you to get soft here. Let your head become heavy. Let your chest and your shoulders become heavy. Let your belly really soften. And let yourself be where you are. And being where you are begins with noticing. Using all of your senses that are appropriate to get a sense of where your body is situated in space, where it's situated relative to the earth and to the sky. How the different parts of the body are interacting with one another. And you might begin this process of scanning the body. Maybe starting with the toes or the fingers and just really noticing what each part of your body is experiencing in this moment. That can be helpful if you are feeling overwhelmed by sensation. To ask yourself what each and every part of the body is actually experiencing in this moment. And honoring that. And then moving on. You might arrive at a part or parts of the body where sensation is particularly strong. And in these places, we might have a very strong initial reaction. And it's good to just let yourself have that. But then to ask more specific questions. To ask what exactly you're feeling. And where exactly, pinpointing the center of sensation. And you might find yourself sending breath to that place or to those places. Thank you. we'll slowly begin to make our way from this shape, taking your time, allowing yourself to be curious, coming out as well. Unwinding slowly. And again, really just moving like yourself, asking what the next logical and intuitive movements are. Can be anything. Can be sitting or standing or inverting, back bending or forward bending. Standing or lying. And then as you're ready, but taking your time, we'll begin to set ourselves up for the second side. Moving as slowly, with as much curiosity as you can muster. And even just getting into the shape, you might notice some differences between side one and side two. And that's normal. Just think about it. Our bodies are not symmetrical. We have, you know, some organs we have two of, but lots we just have one of. So why would we feel the same or look the same from side one to side two? We're using our bodies differently, side one to side two. And you might start simply by, again, sitting back into the sitting bones and letting the feet and legs find as much softness, that liquidy sense, as you can. And as it feels right, or if it feels right, you might start to walk the hands forward and rest against your hands. Prop them on the earth and let the arm bones hold the weight of your torso as you let your face and head become heavy. Let your chest become heavy. And let your belly become soft. All the while, really just feeling this connection that you're making between the sitting bones and the earth. And yourself become softer and heavier. Softer and heavier. Really letting the bones support the form, hold the form of your shape. And you might begin that approach, scanning the body. noticing, locating, and sensing. Enter that method, to that approach. You might add a similar curiosity or a similar scan of the breath, really noticing everything you can notice about breathing and being breathed. Start to move from this place slowly at a pace that feels like it honors where you've been and respects where you're going. But once you are out, move like you. Whatever counter poses or shapes or movements eventually we will come to the belly. Starting out by stacking your hands and resting your chin. And situating your feet so that they're about hip width apart. And just finding this place where your feet are really soft, where you can feel the spaces between your toes letting go. And let that settle into the soles of the feet. Follow the length of each leg, really getting soft. Mm-hmm.
to move into a deeper back bend. Lift your chin and come onto the elbows. So the forearms are parallel to one another. I'm trying to maintain that sense of liquid feet, liquid legs. And you might experiment with widening the hands or widening the feet until you find that place you feel like you can really sink in. You can let your heart and your upper belly and your lower belly really sag. And you sort of feel everything pulling at the sacrum. And just be curious about what face and head position is most comfortable. Back and the head can be heavy. The face can be heavy. Or you might feel best just sort of looking straight ahead without much effort. Let your bones hold the shape. There's a way to approximate the sensation of no muscle. And notice the loop of thought, if it happens to creep in. It's natural for the mind to wander. You might move your elbows out of the way as you very slowly lower down to the earth. And of course, you are free to move like you. Something that I feel very soothed by after the back bending is to bend one knee and sort of slide it up to about hip height on the floor, and then turn the head in that direction and really get heavy. Something else might call to you. Something might occur to you that you've never seen before, or you've never done before.
And as you're ready, always taking your time, we'll make our way toward a twisting version of Anahatasana in varying degrees. So you might start from table and then slide one arm underneath the other. So you just come to rest on that shoulder. And you might move your hips back a little or a lot, whatever feels best. And then walk your other hand forward on the floor. Let that elbow, let that shoulder, let that hand be heavy. And you might have to sort of wiggle around in the head position that works best. Let's see if you can find something that doesn't bring a lot of ripples to the surface of your mind. And once you're here, and you're really settled into the shape, you might find your awareness sort of naturally traveling to a particular part of the body. When you might go there, and be with that part of the body. And notice how the breath affects the experience that that part of the body is having in the shape. And you might notice a part of the body where you're holding, or protecting, holding back in some way. And you might invite that part of the body to really experience the truth of the shape. To let it all resonate. The easy, the challenging, and everything in between. And as you're ready, taking your time, we'll start to find our way into this shape on the second side. This twisting anahatasana, beginning from table, sliding the opposite arm under the other arm, coming to rest on the shoulder, letting the temple or the forehead rest on the earth. And then extending your other hand out on the floor, letting that elbow and letting that shoulder sort of settle in. And that might take a little bit. That might take some time to feeling what being settled here feels like. Going to those parts of the body where you tend to hold, or where you are holding now. And being with them with compassion. Inviting them to soften a little bit. And move from this place slowly, mindfully, with curiosity. And then ask what the next movement is. And for our next shape, we again have a few options. you can practice saddle, which is the yin version of Supta Tadasana, reclining hero. And you can do that either sitting on your heels or separating the heels and lowering down a little or a lot. This could be the pose. Go all the way down. You could use a pillow or support the length of your spine with the bolster. If that doesn't feel good for the knees, you can roll a blanket and place them between the back of the thigh and the back of the calf. If it really doesn't feel good for the knees, you might come to your belly and practice on your belly, bringing your heels close to you, just very loosely holding the top of the feet, or not holding them at all, you just let them be heavy. If that is too much flexion or bending in the knees, I would suggest we're very much like practicing bridge, supporting the sacrum with a block. Let me know if you don't like any of these options. Bridge with a block usually is pretty universally tasty. And go slowly, asking yourself what you feel, where you feel. And in addition to that curiosity of the breath and of the body, you might find from time to time it is helpful to work with a mantra or a word or phrase that you silently repeat to yourself. And that mantra can be anything. Can be peace, can be just a sound like that you think in your mind, can be in English or Sanskrit or German or French or Spanish. Something that brings you right into the present moment. mantra that I really like working with is Hum Sa. And that means I am that. Let's move slowly from this place, taking your time. If anyone would like help getting up, I appreciate someone taking my head and holding me up after that. And then move like you. And from here, we'll move into a posture called cat chasing its tail. Which, were any of you here with me on Monday? I think so.
It was very comical.
So I'm going to demonstrate it before I talk you into it. We had lots of laughs and snorts about it. So it begins sort of as a regular reclining twist. And then we extend the top leg one way. And we extend the bottom leg down. And we pause. And then you might sort of keep rolling over, bending that extended leg. And then reaching back with the opposite arm. And there are lots of sort of degrees that we can get into here. And yes, you might even feel like, oh, I don't want to do any of that with the legs, but you'd rather practice a twisting sphinx. So on this, for this one, I think we'll all go the same direction. So that I can describe it. And we begin on our backs with the arms out in T, so they're perpendicular to the spine with the palms facing down, so we have some help there from the arms. And the knees are bent. And with a breath out, you might just let your knees fall to the right. You might just pause here and just notice what you feel. And then as it feels right, extend your top leg, your left leg, out in the direction of the right, like you're kicking a soccer ball out there. And then extend your bottom leg, your right leg, down toward the bottom of your mat. And you might just pause here and notice what you feel. You might notice where you feel. And then as it feels right, you might roll all the way over to the right with your upper body. placing your left hand on the earth, placing your right hand on the earth, and just pausing here. So that left leg is really just out to the side, and your right leg is still just pointing to the bottom of your mat. And then from here, you might bend your right knee. And leaning onto your right arm, you might reach back and grab the top of that foot. You might not. You might just bend that knee. And then if it feels okay, you might start to extend your right arm just straight out in front of you, coming maybe to rest your forehead or your temple on the inside of the arm or on the earth, whatever feels best. And then if that weren't enough, see if you can relax your left leg, like from the sole of your foot all the way up the instep. I know that's a lot to ask for after that introduction. And you might simply notice, we won't be here for very long, but you might simply notice where you're feeling sensation, where you're holding, where you're gripping. You might just notice what you notice. And how does it feel to breathe in this shape? And we'll move out slowly, methodically, releasing the foot, using the arms to support you, but moving out in reverse, going to your side, and then extending the arms and coming onto your back. And noticing what comes up and what feels like the next logical step. And doing that. And then as you are ready, we'll again bend the knees and extend the arms out to the T. And with the breath out, lower the little body to the left. And pause. You might extend your top leg, your right leg out to the left, and your bottom leg down toward the bottom of the mat, and pause. And then you might keep on rolling with the upper body, rolling all the way over onto the belly. Bending your left knee, reaching your right hand back to catch that foot, and then possibly starting to lower the upper body down toward the earth, extending your left arm up overhead, really sort of finding a place of least effort. slowly start to make your way from this shape. Find out as you moved in and then making any final movements before you make your way toward your pose of final rest. Move as much or as little as you like. And feel free to let your pose of final rest really reflect what rest would feel like right now. Lying on the back or the belly with the legs in any shape. Legs up the wall if you like. Sitting. Be with yourself as completely, as truthfully. And as kindly as you can be in this moment.
begin to remember your body. Notice where you make contact with the earth. And notice where you make contact with the sky. And remember your breath. Be with the breath as it moves around your body and out of your body and back in again. And let the movement of breathing inspire more movement throughout your body. And at some point it might feel nice to draw your knees to your chest and to rock from side to side. And you might find yourself landing on your favorite side. And just pausing. One translation of the Yoga Sutras describes satya, or truth, as follows. When the practitioner is firmly established in the practice of the truth, her words become so potent that whatever she says comes to realization. That sounds a lot like magical thinking, but I don't think it is in the traditional sense. I think it's very much that at some point the truth that you know becomes the truth that you live. As it feels right, start to make your way back to your seat. You're luminous, grounded, and soft seat. Thank you for sharing your practice. Thank you for sharing yourself. Thank you for sharing truth. May you feel that in every step. Peace. Sat Nam. Thank you, everybody. Please ask if you have any questions about anything. Please tell me if you have anything to tell me.